James chapter 1, this is God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. In the exercise of His will, God brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And we'll end our reading for this morning there. Well, I would presume that many of us here this morning have experienced at some time or another the challenge of driving in the United States. And before the days of GPS, which does all the work for you now, but trying to convert the miles per hour imperial system that they've retained into our own kilometers per hour metric system. Some of us are quicker and better at others than doing that. But there was a time not too long ago when many of us would have been challenged by that, especially before the advent of GPS systems and the GPS devices in our vehicles. We were challenged trying to convert on the spot a speed limit that was posted in what we might consider another language. Again, I said some of us are better at this than others. But for us who struggled with that, we wanted and we want the speed limit to be posted in kilometers, what we're familiar with, not miles per hour. Because when we look at something, well, we're driving in the United States and the speed limit is posted as miles per hour, we may sense a disconnect between what we're used to in Canada and the alternative of the imperial system in the United States. Why am I bringing this up? Well, friends, in a very similar way, there is a disconnect that the Apostle James would have us see in our passage this morning when it comes to speed limits. But this disconnect, unlike in the case of kilometers versus miles per hour conversion, this disconnect results from a conflict between the sinful human heart and the righteousness of God. Because God has posted speed limits, as it were, to guide us in living righteous lives here in this world. There are times to speed up, and there are times to slow down. And the book of Proverbs is helpfully and wonderfully full of these lessons. Times to speed up, times to slow down. But the problem for you and I who have sinful hearts, even as believers with sin and the presence of sin still remaining, the problem with you and I, as James will point out, is that we often fail to do the conversion, as it were. We fail to convert the miles per hour into our own kilometers per hour. We fail to convert the speed limits of God's righteousness with our own speed limit. Speed limits that are measured not by God's standard, but by our own sinful desires. We're slow to hear when we should be speeding up. We're quick to speak when we should be slowing down. And we rush in our anger when we should be proceeding with caution. James would have us see the disconnect between sinful man and the righteousness of God when it comes to the speed limits, as it were, that God has posted for us to live righteous lives in this world. And I want you to see that there is a connection between what James has just said in the verses preceding our passage this morning and the words we are considering this morning. There's a connection between what we looked at last time and what we are looking at this morning. And that's why I read, one of the reasons I read verse 18. In the exercise of His will, God brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. And while we are not considering verse 21 this morning, we will see, Lord willing, next time that James returns to that theme of the Word of God. Verse 18 and verse 21 both refer to the Word of God. And this has led many commentators, especially the older ones, the older commentators, but some more recent, to conclude that these words in verses 19 and 20 are to be taken as exclusively dealing with your attitude to the Bible. So these commentators believe that James is speaking of listening and speaking and becoming angry with the Word of God. But I think that unnecessarily puts a limit on the apostle's scope. I do believe there is a particular application of what we are looking at this morning to the Word of God, and we will, Lord willing, look at that next time. But I don't think we need to conclude that James is unconcerned about your relationships and my relationships at home and at school and at work and with my wife and with your husband and with our children in rush hour traffic, wherever we find ourselves and whoever we find ourselves with. James, friends, is embracing all of your life and all of my life and all of our relationships under these commands to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The first lesson from James has to do with listening. Everyone must be quick to hear. Everyone must be quick to hear. Many of you younger people here this morning will likely have not the foggiest idea of what I'm about to say here, but I'm going to try and explain it. In the olden days, before smartphones and digital cameras, we used to take pictures with cameras that use something called film. And you would load this roll of film into your camera, sealing it off from the light, and snap away until you hit your 24 or 36 exposures. And with each picture that you took, what was called a negative would be impressed upon the film. And so when you took your film into the technician at the photo lab, you would give them your roll, and they would go in the dark room and they would unroll it, and they would take your negatives and they would convert them to photos, to positives, we might say, to actual photographs. And they would give you back your pictures along with your negatives. And if you looked closely at the negatives, you would perhaps be surprised to see that everything that you had taken as a picture was kind of in reverse. The bright sky would look dark and gloomy in the negative. The darker forest or mountains would be bright. And that was the whole purpose of a negative. That's how that technology worked. And that's why they are called negatives. And I am saying this because I want you to see that James is essentially setting before us in our passage a picture of the righteousness of God, but at the same time saying that we as sinful men and women contain only the negative. Where God is slow to anger, we by nature are quick to anger. Where God is slow to speak, we are quick. Where God is quick to hear, we are slow. And so you and I need to be developed into positives as the Spirit of God fashions the image of Christ in His people. So we start with listening. Be quick to hear, says James in verse 19. We are by nature slow when it comes to hearing. We are slow in large part, if not exclusively, because of our pride. We assume that we know all there is to know. We assume that there is nothing more that we need to learn. We assume by nature, we assume that our own opinion is always the right one. And rather than taking the time to learn or to listen to the one who is speaking to us, we are mulling over in our heads what we are going to say next. Because we are quick to speak and slow. We are quick to speak and slow to hear. We like to have an answer for everything, but the Proverbs reminds us that the fool is right in his own eyes, but the wise listen to counsel. And we by nature are slow to perk up our ears and learn and listen. And this needs to be reversed, says the apostle. Everyone must be quick to hear. I've often appreciated the saying that God gave human beings one mouth and two ears because we are supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. Two ears and one mouth. And perhaps no other culture before us has devalued the art of listening as our own. Because everyone has an opinion and everyone believes it's their right to air that opinion. Social media has given us countless platforms to publish our thoughts and our ideas. And everyone is so busy putting their ideas and their thoughts and their opinions forward that true listening has been shoved to the side. But righteous living, says James, is quick to hear, listens before speaking. Righteous living values silence as an opportunity to ponder and to meditate and to weigh what we might bring out of our mouths next. And friends, while it's one thing to be negligent in carefully listening to other people, the consequences are exponentially increased when we fail to listen to God. Because God speaks to us in His Word. In His Word read, in His Word heard, in His Word preached. God speaks to His people through the church. He speaks to His people through the providence that He is working out in their lives. We can't read providence like we can read the Bible. We can often be mistaken, but there is a place to stop and to ask, what might God be telling me here in this situation? When was the last time you did that? And brought that to the Lord and said, like the young prophet Samuel, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Everyone must be quick to hear, says James, and we all need to grow in this area. How do we do it? Well, we begin by praying. Praying that God would make you and make me better listeners. And along with praying, you and I need to practice. Practice listening. Maintain a teachable spirit. Remind yourself that you have so much to learn in this life. Learn to enjoy hearing other people talk. Learn to enjoy giving others the last word. Be quick to hear and value listening above speaking. Husbands, we hear it a lot, but we need to be reminded that often our wives just need a listening ear. Not a five-step fix-it plan. And boys and girls, how carefully are you listening to your parents, to your teachers, to those who know more than you, who you need to learn from? We all must be quick to hear, says James. Well, James moves on from hearing and listening to speaking. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak. Again in verse 19. Once again, we're reminded of the negative of the photograph. We, by nature, are quick to speak. Which is why the Bible tells us we need to slow down. If we didn't have a problem with this, it wouldn't be in here. And like our issue with listening, the issue of quick speaking and hasty speech often results from our pride. We trust what we have to say too much. We assume that everything that comes to our minds is worth saying. Must be heard. But doesn't Jesus turn this assumption on its head when He says that the things that proceed out of the mouth are things that come from the heart, and those defile a person? For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders. And we are too quick to speak because we fail to acknowledge and appreciate how sinful our hearts are. If we would only slow down and remind ourselves of Jesus' words, how much more careful would we be with the assumption that, oh, this might not be good, this might come from my sinful heart. There's a great prayer we find in the Bible by David. And we considered David's psalm of repentance and confession earlier this morning. And David learned to not trust his own heart. And David prayed, and I wouldn't be surprised if David prayed this every morning, "O God, set a guard over my mouth," he says. "Keep watch over the door of my lips, O God." Do you pray that? Consider how many times you've regretted saying something that was spoken in the heat of the moment, as we say. And we regret our words because we know that ultimately we cannot take them back. And we've hurt someone or we've angered someone we've loved, all because we were quick to speak when we should have slowed down and thought through and prayed that the Lord would keep a guard over our lips. You know, one of the best things I've learned in the Christian life, one of the things with the most sticking power, came from a children's Bible lesson that I heard as an adult. And the teacher proceeded to pull out a tube of toothpaste and show the boys and girls the toothpaste. And slowly but surely, the toothpaste was all squeezed out of the tube. And then the teacher asked the boys and girls to come up with a plan to get that toothpaste back in the tube. It didn't take them long to realize this can't be done. Once it's out, it's out. Once our words have been spoken, the toothpaste has come out of the tube, friends, as it were. And we must, in our own day, see this lesson, these lessons, as applying to even the things we write and post on the internet, on social media. I think sociologists refer to this as an aspect of what they call our digital footprint. Once you type it, it's out there. Once you hit send or once you hit post, even if you try to go back and erase it, it's out there. The footprint has been put down. How much of this could we avoid by reminding ourselves, by slowing down and reminding ourselves of the words in the scriptures that are before us this morning? Be slow to speak, says James. Be slow to speak. Well, finally, James moves on from listening and speaking to what I think in many ways is the heart of the matter. Because we are dealing with matters of the heart here. These aren't just our lips. These aren't just our ears. These are our hearts. And as Jesus said, the things that we say and think and do come out of our hearts. And I think the heart of our slowness to hear and our rush to speak is an angry heart. Be slow to anger, says James. The word that James is using here for anger in the Greek is the word that means wrath. And it's the word that is usually applied to God in His wrath against sin. It's even a word that is applied to Jesus. At one point, He is in the synagogue, looking around at those with hard hearts who don't want Him to heal someone with disease on the Sabbath. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, looked at these hard-hearted people with anger, with wrath. So at the outset, we have to see that the Bible does, on the whole, leave room for what we call a righteous anger. But when we look at the use of this word, anger, wrath, in the New Testament, by far the predominant usage when applied to men and women, sinful men and women, is in a negative sense. We read in Ephesians 4, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, warns us, if anyone is angry with his brother, he will be guilty before the court. And that is why James goes on to say that the anger of human beings here, sinful human beings, does not achieve the righteousness of God. James is not here denying that there is such a thing as righteous anger. But James, in black and white fashion, in the footsteps of the Jewish wisdom tradition, is saying that by and large, the anger of sinful men and women is not in accordance with God's righteousness. So be very careful. Be very careful when you feel anger boiling up. The Puritan John Trapp put it this way: he that will be angry and not sin must not be angry but for sin. He that will be angry and not sin must not be angry but for sin. But how often is your anger and my anger resulting not from a hatred of sin, but from a sense of being personally wrong? And this is the type of anger that James is referring to here in our passage. So when you feel that anger starting to boil, James says, slow down. Slow down. As much as you can, slow down in those circumstances. Check your anger. Is it righteous? We have to say, usually, probably not. Move through those situations, says James, as if you were driving on the edge of a cliff in the middle of the night during a sleet storm. Slow down. Proceed with caution. And we all need, once again, God's help and God's grace in our lives to slow down and hold that anger back. And while there are a number of helpful practices and approaches with which you and I can address sinful anger in our lives, I want to focus on one only this morning. And that is the practice of embracing the providence of God. If you and I would only accept things as they come to us, whether from other people, whether from God directly, whether it's the weather, whatever it is, if we would only accept and rest in the providence of God, I believe we would have a real advantage over sinful anger. Because so much sinful anger rises in us as a result of us not liking how someone has treated us, not liking how God has worked things out in our lives, what He may have given us, what He may not be giving us, and we respond often in fear. And we lash out in fear. And we get angry. And it's at these moments that we need to slow down and remind ourselves that God is in control. Well, who can do that? We all know that. How do we do that? Once again, we're desperate for God's Spirit and His Word and His grace and His mercy to do so. And I believe that we have a picture of this strategy being employed by David in the Scriptures. David is on the run from Saul, and David and his men end up encountering one of Saul's relatives named Shimei, and Shimei begins to throw stones at David and his men, and he begins to curse them, Shimei. You can read about this in 2 Samuel 16. And the Bible tells us that this is what Shimei screamed at David in this encounter. Shimei says, get out, you man of bloodshed and worthless fellow. The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed, David. Do you think David's anger would have begun to boil? How could it not? Well, what does the Bible tell us that David said back to Shimei? David's words to his men, don't touch him. If the Lord has told him, curse David, then who will say, why have you done so? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him. Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of cursing this day. Friends, David rested in the providence of God, and it delivered him from retaliation and anger in the face of a situation in which none of us would be able to say, I would act righteously. But David did act righteously, and you and I can act righteously by embracing God's providence and resting in God's providence and turning to Him when we're tempted to be angry. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, says James. So let me close by tying this all together as we come full circle, as it were. We have considered James's call and command to be quick to hear, to be slow to speak, and to be slow to get angry. And what we learn is that when we are obeying God's speed limits for our lives, we are, as verse 21 implies, we are practicing and achieving the righteousness of God. Who has brought us forth as new creatures by the word of His grace, the word of truth. So friends, that is the righteousness that we are called to live up to. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. But any talk of the righteousness of God cannot take place apart from focusing on Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Because as Jesus tells us in John chapter 15 and verse 5, that apart from abiding in Him, we can bear no fruit. But if we abide in Jesus Christ, the true vine, we will bear fruit as the Father makes us into that image, taking us out of that negative, sinful human heart film and developing us into the positive image of His righteousness. But you must be abiding in Jesus Christ. And it's beautiful when you consider it. No one was quicker to hear than the Son of God. Heard His Father day in, day out, listened to the cries of those around Him. No one weighed His words more carefully than Jesus, yet He didn't have what we might say a reason. He didn't have a sinful heart. Everything He said was righteous, but the Bible tells us that He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and like a sheep before His shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. As He obtained redemption for His people. And Jesus knew nothing but righteous anger. Nothing but righteous anger. So friends, we must abide in the righteous one if we are going to achieve the righteousness of God. And when we are abiding in the righteous one, He will make us by His Spirit quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And He will do it to His glory. To His glory. So friends, abide in Christ as you remain in Him and remain quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry.